Oh my, everybody up on this roof, that they're all off the roof. I am on the roof of Explosion 4. Got fire through the roof of the fire, knowing the entire rear section.
Now, remember, given the mayday, has he been accounted for? Okay.
610B, that was the mayday. 610B.
I'm here. We got a fire. 1.5-story, single-family dwelling. Fire shown from the second floor. Give me a second alarm on this.
See up to the top floor. I got people hanging out the top floor windows with a baby.
Commercial building. A lot of fire, a lot of smoke. Go ahead and strike a third alarm on my orders on this.
I got people on the front fire escape here with windows vented below them. We need somebody up there.
Yeah, let them know we got a job. I'm pulling up now. Second alarm, I got a 1-story single family frame, heavy fire showing from the attic.
So we're using all hands. We got one line stretched, fire on the fourth floor, second line being stretched, primary searches are underway.
Hey, welcome back to our Fire Engineering Podcast, The Command Post. I'm Chief Rick Lassie, along with my best buddy, Chief John Salka. And we've got another, I think, a good topic for you today. In fact, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But before we jump into that, John, I think we're creeping into a good direction away from this whole COVID thing. You know, the vaccinations, more people are getting them. I think you're starting to see numbers decline in a lot of areas. You know, we had a great show. I know you were tied up. We had a great show with the doctor and, you know, our guys from Fort Worth, and talk about some good stuff on our Hump Day Hangout when it came to what we should be doing for our firefighters and pretty much all our employees after they have COVID and when they return to work, before just saying, okay, John, you feel better. You got your taste back. I know you're a little winded still, but you'll get over that and just put you back to work. But I think we're working our way, John, down the path into a good thing. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know how it is in New York, but I think the numbers are, we're seeing better signs at least right now. Don't you think?
According to the news, if anything that they say on the news is true, which I seriously doubt anyway, but if anything, what they're saying on the news is true, I heard the word plummet. I heard the word plummeting the other day. Cases of COVID are plummeting. Now, I don't know if that was just in the location that they were reporting from or in general or all over the country or whatever, but it's a good word when you're talking about COVID, plummeting. Obviously, the vaccines are out there, all sorts of places. Some places are running out, which is good. It means they're giving them all out, you know? And I got mine. I got one shot of the two. My next one's coming up. I know you got yours. My wife's got hers. I'm waiting for Colleen to get my 90-year-old dad got his first. So I think it's getting out there now, and I think pretty soon it's gonna turn the corner. And I think in just a couple of months, things are gonna certainly not be back to normal. I'm not sure if anything will ever be normal again, but I think it'll be, you know, much better. Whether it be us traveling and doing seminars or having family over or just going out locally, I think things are gonna be much better. I think that'll be reflected in the seminar and the conference world too. I think those will start to pick back up, both the big ones and the little ones and the local ones. Yep.
Well, and the virtual stuff, kind of like this, but the virtual stuff that you and I've been doing, you know, it's great doing it, and we love doing it. We got a bunch of requests actually, but we've done some recently. You know, as much as that's fun, John, and we're getting out there and we're still getting to visit with people, I've been hearing from a lot of people. I don't know about you. There's a lot of guys and gals just like, I want to go back to a class. I want to sit in the classroom. I want to go to a training seminar. I want to go to a hands-on training. You know, so-and-so, I saw a video of him, you know, doing force entry. God, I wish I could go do hands-on with that guy. You know, I think a lot of people are longing to get back into that environment.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Well, and all right. So let's shift gears here for a little bit. And well, actually, before we go on, one more shout out to everybody that's been dealing with this whole COVID thing. John and I have mentioned it before, but to the fire service, our fire service family, to our law enforcement family, to our healthcare family, all the emergency management people, everybody, we don't want to miss anybody in the medical field. Once again, you stepped up for a whole new thing and grabbed a hold of this and did a wonderful job. It's been very tragic, but at the same time, I don't know. I know you, John, you feel the same way. Your wife's a nurse. Very, very proud of how people reacted to this whole COVID, this whole pandemic. So,
absolutely. All right, hey. It's gone up and down, you know, different times with different people, with the doctors and the teachers and the nurses and the firefighters and the paramedics. And we've gone through a bunch of different cycles. Things overlapped with each other. People coming to New York to help when it was really bad there. Then it got really better there and bad in other places, and the traveling nurses and, You know, a lot of forget the supermarket people, the restaurant people. Our restaurant industry really took a big hit, right?
Yeah.
You know, places like Walmart and the local little stores that you go shopping in. And I'll tell you what, it's been tough on everybody. Really has been tough on everybody. So it'd be great to get a little relief.
Well, hopefully it's coming, like you said. Hopefully it's coming. Hey, so okay, so let's officially shift gears here. You and I have sat around in our hotel rooms in the lobbies. We've talked on the phone. We've talked about people in our lives, fire service icons. You know, I mentioned that time when I a couple times had the honor to be a guest speaker at Chief Joe's seminar for Joey D, the memorial symposium for him to raise money for the bailout belts and all that. And Chief Joe's incredible. And that Friday night, John, before Saturday, when they get up to the podium and they start telling the stories, and I you and I talked about this before. When I leaned over to Joe Downey, Ray Downey, said, I said, God, we should be recording this. This is unbelievable. Just the stories. And that always kind of spins into a circle of where you and I go, God, could you imagine what it would have been working for him? Could you imagine being a firefighter riding backwards for that guy? So let's take some time with this issue of the command post. You know, we've talked about, you know, just some, we had a show a while back called Just Some of Our Mentors. We talked about just some of our mentors, but I've got names, faces running through my head. I want to ask you first that question. If you could go back in time, if you could go back and not just like, hey, how you doing, sign this, but if you can go back and fight fires or ride the engine or the ladder with someone, and I'll even take it a step further, sit at the kitchen table at the firehouse in between runs, you know, I guess, who are some of the guys? We just start off with one of them. Who would you, to be able to go back and do that, who jumps right out in front of you?
I tell you, it's so hard. I have been blessed. The group of people that I've worked with and had contact with, you know what's odd in the FDNY is, and I'm sure it's the same in some other places too. There are some folks that I know that I am great friends with that I have known for decades that I never worked a shift with. Not a shift. Guys that I just got to know, you know, because they were the captain in a company that I was a captain in 15 years later. And then they were deputies. And I might have, like Tom Kennedy's a great example. Tom Kennedy was a battalion chief when I was a lieutenant. And I had some experiences with him. I really didn't know him that well. Of course, I know who he was. I knew he was Tom Kennedy. But, you know, I had some encounters with him, some friendly and some not so friendly. And then when they weren't friendly, it was because I deserved it. But my point is, I have met and fallen in love with and worked with some of the greatest men on the face of the earth. And some of them I never worked a shift with. Just I got to know them in the job and around the job and at meetings and at jobs and stuff like that. Never mind the folks that I did work with. So, I mean, I already mentioned his name, Tom Kennedy. I think Tom Kennedy is by far one of the most talented, skilled. I'm trying to think of some more, you know, positive adjectives. Well,
and let me interrupt you for a second. I remember when he stood up at the podium that Friday night before the conference, remember everybody was there, Harvey Eisner. And I looked over at you and you were beaming. You were just like, you know, you were looking at him and I'm thinking, you know how I feel about you. You're my best friend and the experiences, you know, you're, you know, fire service, just incredible. And I'm looking at him with that look on your face, like, God, that guy's freaking awesome. And that in itself to me, John, says something. When I look at John Salka, look at a guy going, you were glued and you were beaming watching him tell the stories.
In awe.
That's
and
it.
Because you want to know why? Because I got a taste of it. Because I was on the FDNY and I was there for some busy times. And I take that and I multiply it. And I, you know, like, you see it on Facebook, the Engine 82, Ladder 31, you know, with Bob Farrell on there. I had another guy I could talk about all day long, right? Talk about a storyteller. Talk about a guy you'd think Vinnie Dunn wrote some books. If Bob Farrell put his stuff onto paper, he'd have a series of books. They'd be unbelievable. But my point is, guys like Tom Kennedy and Bob Farrell, they're made of the same cloth, you know? And these guys, every day they went to work was fires. Every night they went to work was fires. And it was... it was a much less structured job back then. It was just come to work, you know, and do what you have to do and be done with it. And there's a lot more stuff going on now in the modern FDNY or in the modern fire service. But back to Tom Kennedy, you know, and I know his history too. I know where he's been and what he's done. And, you know, he was a captain of 56 truck when 56 was a sort of like an outlaw truck. You know what I'm saying? It was a truck company that was with 42 engine, and it was in some pretty rough times in the job. And they ended up building a new firehouse for 48 engine, which was a single engine. And they put 56 truck in with them. It was like oil and water. And Tom Kennedy was the captain of the truck. And I'm telling you, you know, Richie Blattis was there. He was a young fireman in the engine back then. And there was all sorts of stuff going on. And some of it wasn't pretty, you know, and all sorts of conflicts and fights and wrestling matches and you name it. And they gave Tom Kennedy carte blanche, like, you know, keep who you want. If you don't want guys, you get rid of them, and to try and keep peace and make it work. And he did. And he was the kind of boss that could say, that's it, you're done. Boop, and the guy was gone. And that's just one story. And that's just that end of it. As far as fires go, the guy's a natural. You know what I'm saying?
What did you like about, what did you like? If you were a firefighter riding in right behind him, I mean, what did you like the most about him as being a boss?
He was bright. He was smart. He knew the job. He had a lot of experience. And I think college and education and book reading and all that other stuff is just wonderful crap. But there's nothing like experience. There's nothing like experience. I'll take an ounce of experience over a pound of college degrees. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. The point is, he had a lot of experience. He was a smart, smart guy. And he was a good leader, and he knew how to treat people. And you knew when you were going to get, you know, talked to, or when you're going to get a slap on the back for doing something good. And who doesn't want to work for a guy like that, that just treats you good and trains you and has high expectations of you? See, now in a modern world, you know, it's a little bit different. I don't know what the hell's going on in the world, but guys like Tom Kennedy and Bob Farrell, those are the kind of, and we didn't even mention, you know, more guys who are going to come up here shortly. But yeah, I guess I was born about 20 years too late. You know, I should have been on a job in the late 60s, early 70s. I'm thankful for what I had.
I've heard you say it before. We looked at some old pictures. You go, God, I was born at the wrong time. And you talk about him, and I'm like, and I told you, my head was buzzing with faces of people. And you've heard me talk about Eddie Enright, Chief Eddie Enright from Chicago, retired deputy district chief. So I'd be like a deputy in your place, you know, three trumpets, high-rise guru, old snorkel squad one guys, SS1 squad one, the squads in Chicago are pretty elite, right? They're like the rescues, you know, New York, pretty elite crews, great people, great bosses today, back then. But the old SS1, and you've heard me talk about Eddie over and over and over again in classes. He was in the 3rd Battalion. He was a captain on 98 engine out 202 East Chicago. There's times, John, all the times I rode out with him in the 3rd Battalion, his demeanor, his calmness. I remember walking down the street. We got dressed in a buggy, walking on the street. The guys are going to work. Ladders are going up the main. And we got some jumpers. And I'm trying to film it, right? I got my video camera. I'm trying to film it. And he's walking full stride, first of all, to try and keep up with them big Irish legs. And as he's walking, he turns and goes, hey, Rick, look, jumpers. Like, there's nothing to it. And then he's like, you know, hand that there box truck, get around to the front. And, you know, I got jumpers jumping out the windows at me here. But one of the many things I admired about him, John, was his ability as a teacher, as a mentor, as an instructor. He was one of the guys like Jack McCaslin and the rest of those guys that I would watch teach classes and go, I want to do that one day. Because I would watch students, John, lock in on them, on their every word. And it wasn't an ego thing. It wasn't like, I want to be like them. So, well, look at, you know, I wanted to be able to share information like they did. And he did it on a job. We'd be in the 3rd Battalion driving on Chicago Avenue, John. He turned every moment into a teaching moment. He just stopped a car in the middle of the street and go, Rick, all right, 3rd building down there on the right, top floor fire rear. How much line do we need? I'm like, well, it's a 3-story frame. Let me see my tailboard to be there, my bumper be there. We leave the front for the truck. It's going to take me about 75 feet to get to the door. Probably use this much. But he had a 200-foot cross, you know, cross I could get there, whatever. He just, you could be at a job. You could be at a job. You go, Rick, how much more water we need to put this out? Well, how many more 2.5s? I'm putting the snorkel to work there. I'll put a tower ladder. How many more lines? And I'm like, once you, he goes, and he used to say, once we get enough water here, he'd say, this is like a magic deck. It's going to go out. The fire's going to go out. Poof. Once we bring enough water and, or it runs out of fuel. But his ability, God, his passion for his guys, his passion for the fire service. The only time I ever saw him get loud is if you ever got a yo pal from him, that meant you were in trouble. And that was rare. That guy just, I don't know. He just, I lit up around him and he was one of those guys. I'm just like, you know, and I'll change gears. I mentioned Chief Jack McCaslin. Here talking about Big Mac, decorated combat Vietnam vet Marine. God, the first time I saw him, and I tell this story in Pride and Ownership, he's inside. His leather helmet's all bent up and smashed up on the front. He's got, I know this is sacrilegious, he's got a hook in one hand and a nozzle in the other. And he's throwing the hook into the wall. And he's pulling wood lath plaster down with one hand. And he's opening and closing the bail of the nozzle with his chin. And I'm watching this massive, looks like a football player. And I swear to God, John, I went, oh my God, I want to be like that when I grow up. I mean, this, and again, another guy that took every moment he could to teach somebody something. If you were willing to listen, it was like a waterfall, watching water run down just over the falls of information on these guys. And I just, you know, those are two guys that there's more that I wish I could go back in time and just cross some hallways with. And I said before, John, it's not even always about as wonderful it'd be to fight fires with them. Sitting at the kitchen table again, you know, sitting, you know, and listening like I've done in your firehouse. I just sat at the table and listened to Joe Precipio and you and guys and gone, oh my God, is this like, I wish I had a tape recorder. You know, I don't know. Who else would you, name someone else you wish you'd go back and spend some time with?
Well, as soon as I say this name, we're both going to light up. Tom Brennan, right?
Oh.
You know, another guy that we both love, another guy that's gone, but talk about a gigantic impact on the fire service, but forget the fire service for now. Let's be a little selfish here. You know, tremendous impact on us. Again, a guy that I was never in the same firehouse with. I was never in a firehouse with him. We were in the same building together when he was on the job. But getting to know him through fire engineering and teaching and writing and lecturing and man, oh man, another guy that just was, I don't know how all those great features of his all fit into that one body. You know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, I mean, he could tell a story and make a lesson out of it and make you laugh. And I couldn't stay up as late as him. He could stay up all night long talking. You know what I'm saying? It was just, and at the FDIC, of course, he, you know, I mean, that's how he was in the job before fame, before the whole fire service knew him, just the FDNY knew him. And really just his companies knew him. It's not like he was some guy that everybody in the job knew, you know what I'm saying? Guys like Tom Kennedy and Farrell and Brennan were all famous in their own little way, in their own little clique, in their own little borough, in their own little division, whatever. You know, then we get this fire engineering thing and you know, the rest of the world and the fire service and guy like Tom Brennan, guy like Vinnie Dunn, they cross over from the FDNY into the fire service. And suddenly the whole country knows him, the whole world knows him, you know. But God, would I love to ride in 111 truck with Tom Brennan and just see that act, man. That had to be a show.
Oh, and me too. And you know, you mentioned something I don't want to get away from yet, and that's before the rest of the fire service found out about Tom Brennan, Tom Kennedy, you know, the guys like that. What I always found amazing, John, the same Tom Brennan you saw in the firehouse was the same Tom Brennan you saw at FDI, you know, and you and I have no problem. We say this, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times we've said this. We've been out teaching there and you look at me and go, God, this is like the coolest thing ever. We're out here hanging with firefighters. We got to teach a class all day and share some knowledge, just share some thoughts, some information. Now we're going to supper. We're having dinner and we're talking shop with these firefighters and the chiefs. And on the way to the airport, they want to talk about more fires. On the way back from the airport, they want to, you know, and you and I have said that because, you know, I mean, just the honor that we have to be able to travel because we're just a couple of yutz firefighters. You know what I'm saying?
And then you get to go back to work when it's done, you know.
But seriously, right? I mean, those guys were the same guys. There was no, like, we've seen some people that were an officer somewhere, and they taste a little bit of recognition, and oh my God, they're the sixth trumpet guy, and you know, they've got 9-foot arms because they're patting themselves on the back, and those are the guys that are on Facebook all the time posting, so humbled and honored. Right, we talked about that. How do you put them two words together when you hold up a little plastic thing from the Kiwanis Club they gave you for speaking at their luncheon? You know, say you're honored and let it go, but you're not humble if you're holding pictures of posting pictures of yourself in that. But anyway, that being said, those guys, Leo Stapleton, remember, oh my God. I remember our good friend, John Norman. John Norman, when he introduced me to Leo a long time ago at FDIC, he introduced me to him and he leaned over to me, John, and he said, John Norman said this, when I grow up, I want to be just like him. This is a grown man saying, when I grow up, and could you imagine having Leo as your chief or as the commissioner? And I heard he was pretty tough, and not in a bad way, kind of the Vince Lombardi. If you love the Boston Fire Department, man, you were gold with him. If you were a slug, he had no room for
it. He gave nothing away, man. He gave nothing away. If you got along with him and he liked you, you were putting out, you were producing, you had something to offer. He was a tough boss. You know, we know some guys from Boston. I've worked with some guys from Boston, and they say, man, oh man, he was a tough boss all the way up the ladder. And when he got to the top, another guy that was exactly the same when he made commissioner, he was exactly the same, whether it was about closing companies or providing the right equipment to people and stuff like that. He was always for the men, always for the firefighters, always for the department, which in essence is for, you know, for the city and for the people that you're serving. But he didn't take any prisoners. He was tough all the way around. He's still tough. He's still a tough old bird. He's out there now, and I hear he shows up every month at the Boston Retired Firefighters. I guess some kind of a group, some kind of a gathering that they
have.
How
about that picture of all the current and former commissioners? Oh
yeah, there was like 4 or 5 guys in the picture. Yeah.
And I'm not the best at math, but I think the right number I came up with was a kajillion years of experience sitting there. I was like, oh my God, what a cool picture. But it just, you know, people like him, and you mentioned Tom Brady, and I sit here and I go, you know, my dad worked with some pretty incredible people when he was a firefighter, and Captain Bob Kurzrock, always nice to me, always just, you know, always with the cigar in his mouth and doing something. And, you know, my dad would tell me stories about him, John. This is a guy I wish I could have been a firefighter for, you know. And it's kind of funny because you and I never say we wish this guy would have worked for me. Now, we've looked at young firefighters going, God, I would hire 100 of him or her, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I wish I could have been one of his workers, one of his firefighters. Oh, just
riding backwards behind Tom Kennedy. Yeah.
And I remember my dad saying, you know, he used to love crawling in the building, crawling hallways with Bob Kurzrock, Captain Kurzrock. He goes, I remember once we're in this thing, we got fire over our heads, and they, I don't know what they're doing outside. They were changing our lines or something. We lost water. And he goes, you know, a little pucker factor kicked in. And he goes, Kurzrock, he grabbed me by the arm and goes, hey, because my dad's name was Rocky, right? He goes, hey, Rock. He goes, but my dad says, what do we do, Cap? He goes, hey, Rock, how about we hit the fridge for a beer while we're waiting? Now, they weren't going to drink, but it was just a way of cutting the tension. They were at Montgomery Ward's on a bomb threat at 2 a.m, right? And they're walking inside, and it's, you know, the lighting's not, it's kind of dark. They're with their flashlights. And my dad says, we walk into this one room, this one area, and he grabs my arm and he goes, Rock, I found one. I can hear the ticking. They were in the freaking alarm clock section back then. This is before all the electric, all the clicking talks, clocks, the ticking clocks, all that. He just, I mean, and I, but I would watch this guy when my dad would take me to fires. I watch him come out. He was always working. He was, you know, and how many times, we've talked about that. How many fires you've been to where you could tell who the workers are and those that are very good at ducking? They're very good at ducking, man. They're, you know, the guys, I mean, you can see them. And our mentors and our role models, those people were just, Captain Kurzrock, Leo Stapleton for me, Tommy Brennick said, Jack McCaslin, Eddie Enright, you know, Ray Hoff, best man at my wedding. You know what was the nice thing about that, teaching with Ray, John, was with Ray and Eddie and Mac and them is I got to do stuff. Ray and I did tons of house burns together and tower burns. Eddie and Mac packing up, doing hands-on training with guys with like 35 years in the fire service. You know what I'm saying? Hands-on, getting dirty, packed up. So, you know, when people say, so, you know, where did you gain some of your best experiences? I said, well, number one, at the kitchen table, but I had the honor and the privilege to be able to teach with my idols. I told you about Tom Freeman. We're teaching that class and he's monologuing. We're outside with these, you know, outside after we do our first burn. And he looks at me, I'm his partner. We're teaching. He goes, so Rick, what do you got? Like add something to what he said. And I go, I got a pad of paper. I go, could you go over number three again? And he goes, no, what do you got for the group? I go, oh, I'm sorry. Because that's just how cool they were. Yep. And how good they were at what they were doing.
I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I had an absolute thrill one time. I'm a newly promoted battalion chief, and you know, in the FDNY, like every other rank, you bounce around. They send you here for a night, maybe for a vacation. Where'd they send me? They sent me to the 16th Battalion, which is a very busy, well-known, heavy-hitting 28 truck, 69 engine. Patty Brown was a captain there at the time, and we know what's his name come out of there. But anyway, I go work in the 16th Battalion. Who am I relieving one day? Tom Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And I think I might have even told him. I said, I don't even feel like I should be in the same room with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, holy cow. You know, and he was just getting ready, putting his clean underwear in a drawer, talking about something. He's getting ready to go home, and I'm coming on duty, and we're doing, you know, exchange of information, talking about stuff. He's doing it like he was talking to somebody who's been there for 30 years. And I'm going, holy shit, this is, you know, now I knew who he was and he knew me by then, but it was still amazing to me to be relieving him. I'm going to sit in the car he was sitting in, you know what I'm saying?
And he treated you.
Like, you know, like I said, like I was his brother,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think, you know what, that has a lot to do with, John? These great people we're talking about, these legends in the fire service, and not legends in their own mind, legends in the fire service. They remembered, we've said this a ton of times in our leadership class, they remember where they came from.
Yep.
They remember what it was like to be a probie. They remember what it was like to walk into the firehouse first time. They remember to be, I'm sure they walked into a firehouse to relieve one of their idols and felt the same way.
Somewhere along the way, right.
And that's what I've always admired about, like, you and when we're at FDIC and we're signing books and stuff like that. And you see the young firefighter with his buddy or his other fire stand over there, like, and they're like, should we go ask him, you know, to sign it? Yeah, go ahead, you know. And they come over and they go, hey, and we're like, no, we always say, you and I always say, oh, we're honored to. And then what's the first thing we do? You got your phone with you? All right, come on back here. We bring him back. Come on, let's take a picture together. And it's not for us. And it's like, that's like all the pictures you and I have of all of our mentors and idols we took that I was like, I couldn't wait to get my picture, you know, with Tom Brennan and Al Brunicini and Leo Stapleton, you know.
And think about that. You and I used to hang out in the what do you call it, room up in the hotel, right? The hospitality room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Alan Brunicini and Vinnie Dunn and the likes of them. You know, it was absolutely unbelievable opportunity for young guys like us who are, you know, trying to work hard and do a great job. And what a great experience we had being exposed to folks like that.
Oh, God, could you bottle that up as a drug? You know what I'm saying? The adrenaline rush you get from hanging with those people. And, you know, then I go, I never met him. I've studied him, but one of your department's heroes, Chief Croker, I always say the father of fire prevention, the father of the codes, the father of the guy that made it through some of the most historic, disastrous fires and fought so hard, fought at the, I will say, angering of politicians, other people to do what was right for the fire service. And I see some of those pictures of him standing there with that coat, that rubber goes down to his feet, with that gigantic mustache that even Billy Goldfeder would be jealous of, the big high eagle helmet. And I'm going, oh man. And you look back and you see pictures of some of those officers back then with their crews, and you go, and they had their hand on the shoulder of the firefighter who's on the nozzle in front of them as they're, you know, they're pushing in. No air. I mean, we're all about cancer awareness and air packs, but back then they didn't have them. But that's the stuff. It's like, you know, good bosses that lean over you and go, you're doing good. You're doing good. You know, that come up and kind of, I used to do it. You give them a shoulder. They're walking, you give them a shoulder and you go, God, you guys did great. You guys kicked it. I told these guys in Iowa Park the other day, John, at this nursing home. Freezing freaking cold here in Texas. Nursing home, bedridden, non-ambulatory residents. Heavy, heavy fire. And I remember telling one of I told a group of their guys, I walked up and I go, I know they don't know me from Adam. I'm just a firefighter wearing a black helmet, right? And I walk up, I go, hey guys, great job. They go, oh God. First of all, you should have burnt this whole joint down. You kept it to the one end. Secondly, no fatalities. You guys did awesome. God, you guys did great. You know, and I know it may not mean anything, you know, and again, they don't know who I am. I'm just like, I don't know. There's nothing that made me feel better after I worked my ass off and thought I did a good job to have a good boss come up and say, or confirm it for you that you did good, you know?
Right.
And just those guys admire.
You got to remember to do that. And you got to remember to do that if you're a boss, whether you're a lieutenant somewhere out in some obscure engine or a captain in charge of a company or a battalion, you got to remember to do that. You always got to remember, not throw them around,
right.
But you got to remember to hand out some well-placed, you know, attaboys to the guys and the girls, to the folks that are doing the hard work, putting the fires out and extricating people out of cars and doing CPR and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just a couple of words. Sometimes a little wink, like, hey, Billy, guy looks at you, you give him a little wink. Nice job. Like, that's unbelievable. It, you know, some guys, who said it? I could live a week on a good compliment, right? It's so true.
Oh, yeah, I could go. Yeah, it just, and people that are willing to take a moment to say good job, because there's a lot of bosses that they don't even do it in the firehouse. You work your ass off for a month on a project or getting a rig ready or detail a time. You can be there 3 years and not hear a compliment, let alone three compliments. And like you say, don't throw them around. But who doesn't want to hear, hey, good job, John? It's all good. Right. Good job. Like I told you, we talk about the little gold book, right? The little notebook that, or the mental notebook you make in your head. And it's not because they're your little golden boys and girls, but I used to tell like Curtis. You walk by and you go, hey, Kurt, he's like with the guys after a job. Hey, man, thanks, man. For what, Chief? For doing us proud. What do you mean? Dude, look at our tools. Even when our tools are all shitted up, laying on the front lawn somewhere after a job, even when ours are all crapped up from a fire, they still look better than everybody else's tools. Because you're wrapping them and you've got them, they're color coordinated with their different rigs, and you're already re-wrapping them now. You know, even after a tough job, I'm like, those are our guys. I've said it before, just looking at my guys going, oh, look at, you know, I was talking with some people here at Wichita West. I said, you know, the only agenda I have, you know, and the chief here knows, he's a great chief, like I said before, Chief Fetzer, is I want to show up at a fire, step off the rig, and have another chief go, send them over here. I'm putting them to work. You know what I'm saying? Get off the rig with all our gear on, our air packs on, our tools, the right tools, so we don't have to like try and borrow from someone else when you should have your own stuff. You know, just I want to be that crew. Like you said, you said it before. You look out in the street. When Eddie Enright used to say about that one particular engine company, he goes, it doesn't stop. He goes, it doesn't stop at the bay door. You know, they're a band of wandering misfits when they get out there. He goes, he's like Pigpen from Charlie Brown. They come right out. They come right out to the scene. You look out in the street, you see four companies standing in the street. You can spot them because they're the ones that aren't dressed. Their tools look like crap. Who are you going to pick to do? You know, if you got something you need done right now, you're not going to pick, you know, those that look like they climbed out of the clown car. I want, and again, that goes back, John, to what I said. I like the competitiveness, the good competitiveness, where I want to be good. I don't want to be picked last. Last, you go play right field. I never got put in right field. I want to be picked first or in the first couple groups. I want a chief to go, come here. All right, get ready. You're going next. You guys are going next. You know, that confidence you get from those people, you know, and you said it before, that just that simple wink, like you guys did good. That simple wink, you know, is like giving somebody a six pack of Monster drinks to drink when it comes to the adrenaline rush. So real quick, a couple more. I've got one. Let me just mention one more, and I'm asking you to. You and I, we love Tommy Trevino. Tommy was one of our instructors, retired from the Oak Lawn Fire Department, Southside Chicago, Illinois Fire Service Institute instructor, squad guy, truck guy. Tommy, I used to say Tommy Trevino, it's like I have a lieutenant I work with now in the Volunteer Fire Department. Mark Venzer. I would say he'd be a waste of cocaine and a waste of a espresso coffee because he's got so much energy. It wouldn't matter. Tommy Trevino, John, you saw him teaching for us. The way the students hung on his every word. he spoke with such passion. You know, when he was teaching, you know, you and I would go, look, 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 watch. And those young kids were just like, they're just staring and following him wherever he walked, listening to every word he said. And I remember going to fires with him. I remember once we had three kids in there. And they grabbed the one kid. He's like, Ricky, no, tell him. Kids are going to huddle together. Where they look, where they found the other one, they're going to find the other two right there. Tell them, look right. Sure as shit, that's where they found the other two kids. He just, God, at a fire, at the firehouse training, I used to love doing stuff with that guy, whether it was teaching or fighting fires. But to watch the young students just hang on his every word. I miss the Tommy Trevinos in the fire service. I miss that passion and I miss that love for the job.
And I'll tell you another thing, which we really haven't talked about too much. Most of the guys we talked about were, you know, ahead of us, a senior to us, whether it be in the time or in the job or on in age. But there's other guys too, like Richie Chiamonte. He's one of the guys who used to travel around with me doing seminars. Talk about a talented, you know, can do everything. Mickey Conboy. You know, guys that I worked with throughout the years in the jobs that were, you know, firefighters and company officers. And they could do anything. They could teach anything. They were great instructors. They were great with their hands, with tools. They know how to talk to people. Richie Chiamonte was never a boss. And boy, he would have been a great lieutenant, even a great captain. You know, he never studied, never chose to. But he was a great firefighter. And I was so happy. Richie Tanagretta, God rest his soul. Guys like that, that were just, their hands were gold. You know, and it brings us to that other topic that we'll talk about some other time, you know, and we've talked about before, about the senior men, about the talented working firefighters that no fire department exists without. And you can tell just by looking at them when they're getting off the rig, you can tell how they carry a halogen or how they swing an axe. This guy knows what he's doing, man. And those guys are great too. And I'm glad I got to mention some of their names, guys that I carried around with me, guys that followed me around and worked for me and made all my hands-on classes what they were. I do the intro. I talk to people. They want to sign my, you know, me sign their book, and then you know, Mickey and Richie Tanagretta and the rest of them would be doing all the teaching. You know, Chris Delisio and them.
Well, and one of the key things you just said there was the teaching part of it, John. You know, and I love doing it, and I find myself doing it completely accidentally even now. Just recently, I'm at fires. I'm like, okay, come over here. All right, grab your hook, pull this way. Do that, you know, it's like, you know, you and I have done that before where we've been at actual fires, actual, not live fire training, acquired structures, actual fires where you almost fall into the trap of it's a teaching moment. You forget, oh, we're supposed to put this thing out. You know, all those guys you talked about, you know, you'd be in a building and they would, oh, no, Rick, hold your tool this way, pull this way. No, let me show, come here. Let me show you how to clear this window the right way. It was almost always a teaching moment, a teaching opportunity for them. And I think about my own career and how proud I am of how well I could do things in a fire ground and know, you know, tool usage and so on and so forth. And then I go back and think of all the guys that showed me these things, these little tidbits at fires. Every one of you, these guys you talked about, you pretty much mentioned about the teaching aspect of their lives, the teaching and sharing information with you and the people around them. And maybe that's what made them special, John, was they were always given. They were always sharing without ego, without, you know, they don't have to say, pull, use your halogen to do this and hold it this way. And then put Chief John Salka at the bottom. Like you wrote a poem, you know, one of those guys, you know, like author unknown. They don't have to put their name on nothing because they didn't really care who got the credit. They just wanted you to be better at what you're doing and more comfortable. And I think that was huge, right?
Yep. It was great.
Oh God. So many great firefighters, so many great people. Look at how many we talked about in a short amount of time that we took to do this particular podcast. I guess, let me ask you this. What would be the message to our listeners about what we just talked about this, you know, the title of this one we're going to use, I think I wrote it down. If you could go back and work with, what would you say? You know, I've always said enjoy the moment if it flies by before you know it's going to be over. But what would you say to these young firefighters about, you know, before you get to that, if you could go back and work with, what should they be thinking about now, buddy?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's pretty easy. They should be working towards and trying to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? they should be working hard and making every moment, every job a teaching moment, and helping the younger firefighters. Even if they're young themselves, you can still help the guy that's younger than you, you know, and try and be the guy that somebody 20 years from now is going to say, man, I loved working with Lasky. He was great. He was a senior man. I talked about Richie Bartle, God rest his soul. Yeah. He was never a lieutenant, never rode the front seat other than behind the steering wheel. Yet he had a tremendous, tremendous impact on me and my life and my career, you know, and he was a simple senior firefighter. Try and be that guy, whatever rank you're in. Doesn't mean you have to be a senior firefighter. You can be a lieutenant, you can be a captain, or you can be a firefighter, but try and make a difference in the lives and the careers of the people around you. Try and be helping and pulling everybody along with you. And before you know it, people will be saying, yeah, I worked with him. I worked with Mickey Conboy. What a great guy. I've never heard anybody say anything other than that about Mickey Conboy. What a great fireman, right? Because he is. And he just keeps doing it and keeps teaching and keeps learning. And it's just try and be that guy, you know, not for the accolades. Try and be it because you want to do good and you want to help your team and you want to help the people around you.
Well, and I've heard you say 1,000 times, do it your way. And every time you say that, or when I teach that part of the class, we're not together, I always say, you know, I wasted several months of being a new officer trying to imitate Jack McCaskey, Eddie Enright, Tom Freeman. Instead, what I should have been doing is just what you said. When you said, be like that guy, be like that guy, that gal. My goal was not to imitate them and be them. My goal was to steal, like you said, steal those traits that made them special. You've heard me say it a bunch of times. I wanted to take from Jack McCaskey on his command presence, his ability to teach things like fire behavior and building construction, and have you sitting on the edge of your seat, this gigantic of a man built like a football linebacker, you know, decorated combat, Vietnam vet Marine, teaching fire behavior and building construction, among other things, but I'm just using those two. Like, you're like, holy cow. And then Eddie Enright's calmness on the fire ground, his passion for the job, his love for his guys, Tom Freeman's smarts, his tactical ability to read buildings and read fire and tell you 10 minutes from now, this is going to happen, an hour from now. Tommy Schiavino's passion, you know, and just, you know what I'm saying? And to take those little tidbits, right? Like you said, be that guy, stick them all over you, you know, to be better at what you're doing. And,
absolutely.
You know, and you know what? They're out there. The all the people we talked about are in the fire service right now, just wearing different numbers and different names.
Fire service is full of them. It's full of them. And thank God we get to travel around and see that and say, you know what? It's going to be all right. Fire service is going to be all right. Yep.
Fire service is I've heard you say it a bunch of times. The fire service is a good hand. So,
hey, what did they ask me after 9/11? How do you think is going to happen to the FDNY? What's going to happen? What does the future hold for the FDNY?
I remember that.
What did I tell them?
You sat back and you kind of a little grin came across your mouth and you said what? I remember what you said.
We're going to be just fine.
We're going to be just fine. And you know what? We're going to be just fine. And, yep. And to the young firefighters, to the rookies and the probies, they're right in front of you. Go find them. The Tom Kennedys, the Jack McCaskey, Eddie Enrights, the Tom Brennans, they're right in front of you, man. They're sitting in a firehouse. They're at your Monday night drill night, your volley place. They're at the kitchen table, your career place. They're right in front of you. Just look for them, and I promise you, you'll find them. You're going to find those people, those mentors. So, hey, buddy, email for them to get a hold of you.
ChiefJohnSalka@gmail.com.
And I'm ChiefLasky@gmail.com. You can head over to our websites if you're looking for any information. If you want to get us to come out and visit with your folks, maybe teach a class or whatever, just reach out to us. And just don't wait too long because everything's filling up now with all the rescheduling of postponed classes and all the new ones. And we're getting back to things, but give us a shout. If you're looking to host a company officer academy, give us a holler there too, or Chief Officer Academy. If not, we could do it with our partners. We love Columbia Southern University. I'm an alum, but we love them.
Great people.
Are they not a class act or what?
Columbia. Absolutely. And everybody we've met there, one is nicer and friendlier and more professional than the next, you know,
just outstanding. CSU. Thank you. But get a hold of us and we'd love to come out and visit with you. Okay, so that closes off another one for us there. You know, we end all of our shows, whether here or any other venues, with a very important phrase. I don't think we've ever missed it, buddy. And that's, in closing, please keep the men and women, armed forces, in your thoughts and prayers. And most importantly, remember that never forgetting means never forgetting. Be safe. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.